Well, first of all, I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me here. And I also would like to express my admiration with Bruce's ability and patience of writing papers that are where every little detail is checked and double-checked. So I can only aspire to just attain anything close to that. Well, I will talk today about jet modules. So let us start with a torus, n-dimensional torus. And I can see that the algebra of functions on the torus, well, I'll consider the algebraic version of it, so I'll consider Fourier polynomials. So this is the algebra of Laurent polynomials in n variables. So one can see that these are indeed Fourier polynomials using the identification that Tj can be thought as e to the 2 pi I xj. So, and then it's clear that Laurent polynomials are just Fourier polynomials here. And I will be interested in the Lie algebra Wn, which is derivations of the Laurent polynomials. And I would like to discuss something about the representation theory of this algebra. Now, so in at this conference, many of us are interested in extended affine Lie algebras. So these objects are not too far away from that. So here, from the point of view of extended affine Lie algebras, so you should think of these Laurent polynomials as the centroid for the centerless core. And so then this will be just derivations of the centroid. So I take not skew derivations, but all the derivations. So these questions that I will discuss today, so they are relevant for the theory of representations of extended affine Lie algebras. And so here, I'd like to define a category. I'll call it J of Wn modules. So I will say that so a module, a Wn module V, belongs to category G if it satisfies the following three properties. Well, first of all, I can define so an analog of the Cartan subalgebra here. So I can say that the DJ will stand for TJ inverse, no, TJ DTJ, which is the same as, so in XJ notations, it's 1 over 2 pi I D DXJ. And so then I will require that these operators DJ act diagonally or in a diagonalizable way on V. The second property is I will ask that V is a free module over Laurent polynomials of a finite rank. And the last condition is the compatibility condition. So I want that this structure of V as a module over Laurent polynomials as a commutative associative algebra is compatible with the with its structure as a module over Wn. So this means that for every eta, for every vector field in Wn, for all functions and for, so this is an f of t to the n, and for all v in v, I have the condition that eta applied to f times v is equal to eta applied to the function times v plus, well, it's actually the Leibniz rule, f times eta applied to v. Not quite there. All right, so this is the category of WN modules that I want to consider. And so the question that I want to ask is describe or classify indecomposable modules in this category J. And I should say that irreducible modules in this category has been recently classified by Rao. And so with our approach, so we would like to make Rao's treatment more accessible and more lucid. All right. So before I get into details, so let me give you an example of a module in category J. So what I'll consider is n jets of functions on the torus. So here, so what I will do is, so first I will fix a point on the torus. And I introduce the equivalence relations on functions near this point. So suppose, so let I have two functions, f1 and f2. I'll assume that they are smooth. And so defined in the neighborhood of this point. And we say that these two functions, f1 is equivalent to f2 at this point, at p, if all the derivatives at this point are equal up to some given fixed order. So for all alpha such that alpha is less or equal to n. So here I have a several variable case. So alpha is a multi-index. So alpha belongs to z plus to the power n. And this is just the sum of all the indices here. And so then the set of equivalence classes or equivalence class is the jet at P. And jets at a point form a vector space. So I'll call, so J P is the space, maybe I should put N here, space of N jets at the point P. And then, so if I have a diffeomorphism, so suppose F is the diffeomorphism of a torus, then it is clear that this diffeomorphism, and suppose I have another point Q such that F of Q is equal to P, then it is easy to see that there is a map, a natural map, F star, that maps n jets at P to n jets at Q, just by pullback. So it's easy to see. So, and then we see that the group of diffeomorphisms acts on sections of the jet bundle. So now I can define a vector bundle on the torus. Yes? Uh-huh. I introduced the equivalence relation.
Oh, okay. So you're generating equivalence relation.
Yes.
But the n then changes.
Well, I fix n. I fix n, and for a given n, I introduce an equivalence relation, that two functions are equivalent if the all partial derivatives of orders up to n coincide at p. Right. Well, so here I allow myself flexibility. So for the purpose of this talk, I will consider these type of functions, so Fourier polynomials. But it's possible to do L2 on a torus, so, or C infinity, so it doesn't really matter. Now, so I define a jet bundle where this space of jets at P is the fiber. So then I can see that the group of diffeomorphisms acts on the sections of this of the jet bundle. And for this reason, so Wn, which is the Lie algebra of the group of diffeomorphism, also acts on the same space that I may denote as Jn. So this will be a module of... So this space of sections of these jet bundles, so this will be a module for Wn. And so this module belongs to category J. So defined over there. So this, the space these jets, so you can multiply jets by functions. And it will be compatible with the structure of the Wn module. So this module, the module of n jets, is not irreducible. So because if we consider a subspace of jets that vanish up to some order which is less than n, this would be a submodule. It's just because the torus is a flat manifold. It follows immediately that it's a trivial bundle. So it's right. So it's immediate that it's a free module. Well, I'm working in the setup of Fourier polynomials. This is what. No, I think because it's the module is because the torus is a flat manifold, I don't think that there are any problems. So you can use a uniform basis everywhere. So.
But then your transition functions are not
algebraic. All right. Well, for me, I can just explicitly write the basis of this model, and I see that it is free. All right. So now let us go and try to understand the structure of these indecomposable modules. So let V be an indecomposable module in category J. So because I know that my D's act diagonally on the module, so I can so we can write with little work V as a tensor product of the Laurent polynomials with a finite dimensional space U, where so DJ restricted on one tensor U acts as lambda J times identity. Well, it's not difficult to see that it is possible to arrange things in this way. And the space U is finite dimensional because I assume that my module is of a finite rank. And so with that, I can express the action of my Lie algebra. So if I have T to the power S times DJ, so I can see that this vector field. So again, DJ is defined like this, and then I just multiply it by T to the power S. So this acting on T to the power MU, so this action that follows from here, it will be like this. So it will be MJ plus lambda J T to the M plus S U plus T to the power M plus S, and then certain operator DJS applied to U, where DJS is an endomorphism of U, and it's independent of M. And so basically this formula follows from compatibility condition 3. Right? So if I know how DJs act on the lambda on one tensor U, then I can get how it acts on everything. So that's also just quite immediate. So then, basically, in order to understand indecomposable modules, I need to understand what happens, what kind of operators DJ of S I can use here. And it turns out that in order to understand that, the key concept that allows to crack the problem is the concept of a polynomial module. So this concept was introduced in our paper with Stephen Berman. And basically, so there it was introduced in a very general setup. And basically, a module is polynomial if it has structure constants that are polynomial. And in this particular situation, so this is equivalent to saying that DJ of S is polynomial in S, which is an element of Z to the power N. So this is what a polynomial module in this particular situation is. And so a theorem that says that any WN module in category J is a polynomial module. So you can prove that. And in fact, the proof is not too difficult. So first of all, so it's possible to show that everything restricts to W1. So if you can prove this for W1, then you can derive this for Wn. So you have to play the game of that you know that certain function is polynomial in each variable. It's not quite trivial, but you can get that it's polynomial in all variables. And for W equals 1, you can basically do a certain diagonalization. So you can show that there is certain diagonalization property for these operators. And then you show that on a finite dimensional space, an operator could have only finitely many distinct eigenvalues. And this means that all other eigenvectors have to vanish, have to be zero. And then basically you get some vanishing condition from which it will follow immediately that this has to be a polynomial. So that's kind of the idea of the proof here. And so once we have that, so once we prove this, that this is a polynomial module, everything else will follow quite easily. Well, actually, because it's true for indecomposables, it will be also true for all others, because we have every module is a finite sum of indecomposables. Right. And so then what can we do with this? So once we know that dj of s is a polynomial, so you can write dj of s as the sum over k in z plus to the power of n, actually without the zero, because it's easy to see that dj of 0 is equal to 0. So the constant term is 0. And here one can write s to the power of k over k factorial. So again, I'm using the multi-index notation. And here one can write dj of k. Now, dj of k now will again be endomorphisms in U. And now these are independent of S. Right? So, and actually, this sum has to be finite. So this means that this has to be zero for k large enough. But nonetheless, it's instructive to write this sum not as a finite sum explicitly. So just keep it as an infinite sum, but keep in mind that only finitely many terms here are non-zero. So now if we do that, then it's a simple calculation to see what happens with these operators. Now these operators will behave much better than dj of s. And so, well, one can write the just the commutator of these two operators. So, and the answer, so one can calculate it's going to be mj di of s plus m minus epsilon j, where epsilon j is 0, 0, and 1 on the jth place, minus Si dj of s plus m minus epsilon I. And now from this formula, it's very easy to see what kind of Lie algebra these operators form. And then from here, we immediately get the following theorem number 2, that there is a one-to-one correspondence between indecomposable modules in category G, so WN modules in category G, and the pairs lambda U, where so lambda, well, it's that lambda that we introduced there. So it's in c to the power of n, but it's easy to see that it's defined up to modulo z to the power of n. So then shifting it by an integer will give the same module. And you in the being in the composable module for the Lie algebra Wn plus. So what is Wn plus? So Wn plus is the algebra of this will be subalgebra of derivations of ordinary Laurent polynomials, not ordinary polynomials. So z to the power alpha d dz j, where where alpha belongs to zn plus without zero. Right. So this. So if I take derivations of polynomials in n variables, so this Lie algebra is graded, and the grading component starts at minus one. So I throw away this minus one component, and I just take the component that starts at zero. So this is my Lie algebra Wn plus. And and this should be finite dimension. So what I get is that I should look at in the composable finite dimensional modules for this Lie algebra. And so this becomes a problem in a purely finite dimensional setup. So in particular, so from here we can recover Rao's classification of irreducible modules. So then for irreducibles, so you all have to do is, so you replace indecomposable with the word irreducible. So what are irreducible Wn plus modules? So finite dimensional. So one can show that if I consider the subalgebra Wn double plus, so this means that I take a subalgebra where the grading starts not at zero but at one right now. So this is spanned by z to the power alpha d dzg, where alpha is now greater or equal to two. So then this subalgebra vanishes in every finite dimensional irreducible Wn plus module. Actually, it's an ideal. So this ideal will vanish. And this means that there is a one-to-one correspondence between these irreducible modules and irreducible Wn plus factored by Wn double plus modules. But what's the factor algebra? So the factor algebra is, of course, GLNC. And what we get is irreducible modules are parameterized by the modules of GLN. And this gives us tensor modules. And here we get the Rao's result, that irreducible modules for Wn are the tensor modules, so in category J. And so these tensor modules so look like this. So T to the power S dj acting on T to the power M U. So now U is the finite dimensional GLN module. It's equal to MJ plus lambda J T to the M plus S U plus, now the sum, so now I'm writing this term, only I'm decomposing this using this formula, right? But whenever the absolute value of k is greater than 1, this vanishes. So here I will get only the sum p from 1 to n. And I get only the terms with kind of height of degree 1 here. So we'll get sp, so here sp times t to the m plus s, and then the action of epj on u. So this is the well-known formula for the tensor modules. Now, how can we get the jet modules from here? Now, the trick is the following, that it turns out that I can write the tensor module not only for Wn, but for Wn plus as well. So now I take a tensor module for Wn plus. So that will be, so I take a GLN module, how should I call it? So I should, let me take, U, and I say that U is C of Z1 Zn tensor U bar, where this is a GLN module. So I can take the tensor module for Wn plus, defined pretty much by similar formula. So this tensor module is no longer irreducible. So it will, because this algebra has only positive components, so there will be lots of submodules. And I consider now Um to be a factor of U by things like, so z to the power k u bar, perhaps, where absolute value of k is greater than m. So I can factor out the tail. And so now this becomes a Wn plus module. So now I take this Wn plus module. So this will be coming from a tensor module for Wn plus. And I plug in into this formula. So I use this correspondence. And so now from here, I will get the module C of T1 plus minus Tn plus minus tensor Un. And this module turns out to be isomorphic to the module of n jets of tensor fields. So in my example, I consider jets of functions, but just as well, we could consider jets of tensor fields. And so this will give the module of jets of tensor fields. So this shows that the category J is very far from being a semi-simple category. So there are a lot of indecomposable modules in this category. And as a consequence, so we will get that the theory of representations for ELAs also is far from being semi-simple. So you will get a lot of indecomposable modules for ELAs that come from these indecomposable modules here. And we know very little about that corresponding counterpart for ELAs.